Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Youpreneur Podcast. Before we get going with this episode of the show, however, I've got a very special announcement for you. This is your personal invitation to join me, my team, some very, very close influential friends of mine, and a host of other smart entrepreneurs at the inaugural Long Haul Leader Summit, which is taking place in the historic heart of Cambridge, England, on November the 16th and the 17th of 2024. You're going to be able to learn from the best in the business. You're going to be able to network with like-minded leaders and other entrepreneurs just like you that are on a similar journey to yourself. We've got some incredible masterminds planned. Lots of great strategies will be shared. And by the time we're all done together, you're going to walk away with a solid plan of action that you can follow through for the entirety of 2025. But here's the thing though. We've only got 100 exclusive spots available. So this is your chance to be part of an intimate group focused on sustainable success, avoiding burnout, and ultimately making a whole bunch of money in the process. So go ahead right now and visit longhaulleader.com. There's links in the show notes as well to secure your ticket to make sure that we're all hanging out with each other in November this year. That's longhaulleader.com. I'll see you there. Right, let's get on with the episode.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello there, my savvy entrepreneurial friends. This is episode number 164 of Youpreneur FM, and thank you very, very much for being with me today. I do appreciate it. Got another brilliant show lined up for you. My very good friend, Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio, that's Walt Disney World Radio, is in the house. We're going to be talking all about personal branding. But before we get into the show, a quick thank you and a big mention to today's sponsor, which is FreshBooks, a great financial management tool for any small business owner out there. I often say that the numbers never lie. You better be looking at your numbers, people. And FreshBooks allows you to keep track of all of your invoicing, your expense management, and it also has an incredibly intuitive mobile app that you can use on the go as well. You, as a Youpreneur FM listener, also qualify for a complete month of free, unrestricted use to their entire suite of products. And all you need to do to claim that free trial is to head over to freshbooks.com/Youpreneur and enter the word Youpreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So on to my chat with Lou. This is a man that I genuinely love. I meet a lot of people in my travels, when I'm speaking, when I'm masterminding, when I'm going to events myself to just learn and hang out. And Lou and I have, you know, we became very fast friends, and you'll hear us talk about that in this conversation, actually. But I genuinely love this man. Like, I genuinely hope that I'm going to be friends with him for a long, 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 long time. And what I love about him more than anything else, he really is a bit of a rebel. he quit a full-blown, law, corporate kind of America-type job and decided to go ahead and do what he really loved. And that was to talk about Disney all day long. Four other Disney enthusiasts. And boy, oh boy, has he built an incredible, incredible, rabid, just white-hot community around him and his brand and what he does and how he serves that community. And we really talk in this particular chat about building that brand and building that community through hugging and handshakes. And it's just such a great conversation. So I'm not going to babble anymore. Here's myself and Lou. Enjoy. So Lou, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, brother. Really good to see you again.
Yeah, man. Look, it's been a while since we've really kind of caught up, I think, properly. I'm in the process right now of batching these podcast recordings because I'm going to be spending some time in the UK in April and May. But we are recording this in Feb. You're coming out to Tropical Think Tank in March. And yet this is the first time I think we've spoken together since you agreed to speak at my event. It was like, okay, I've got him for the event. I don't need to talk to him again until the event.
Yeah, but dude, you're like the James Brown of entrepreneurship. Like, you are the busiest man in show business.
Yeah.
So we see each other occasionally, like at conferences. We say hi, we hug it out, and then we move on. And,
yeah.
So, it's good to catch up with you again.
It's kind of crazy. I'm really genuinely, though, I'm looking forward to having some quality time with you and with everybody at Tropical Think Tank. It's that kind of event which is so fully immersive for the whole week. You just walk away with like new, brand new lifelong friends, and it's going to be great to hang out with you here. So, look, this is not why I wanted to speak to you today, though. And I'm sure my readers or my listeners are thinking, what are you doing here, Chris? We don't need to hear about Tropical Think Tank anymore. I wanted to talk to you about branding and building how you've built the business that you now run around you, really. I mean, you are your brand. You are your business. People freaking love you. Like, you're a tribe. Like, when we talk about your vibe attracts your tribe, you are walking, talking, breathing proof of that statement. And your community is just head over heels in love with you. And that's why I wanted to talk to you today, because this is something I think that everybody is building a business based around their brand needs to get a hold of and understand that P2P connection that I'm always waffling on about, that people-to-people connection. It is real. And, you know, you have this phrase where you say, and I might be paraphrasing a little bit here, but you say something along the lines of you build relationships with hugs and handshakes or something along those lines. Talk to us a little bit about this. How did this focus for you on relationship building really begin when it comes to the business side of things?
So it was never something that was intentional or deliberate or a strategy. It's who I am. You know, the person who I am on the show and the person that, you know, you meet at an event is the same person I am in real life. And it's funny, man, when you say things like personal branding, the very first time I heard that, when somebody said to me was, you know, you are the brand, was like in 2005. And I looked at him, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean I'm the brand? I don't even know what that means.
Right.
But you are, right? And that's why I think that we you know, you and I are very much cut from the same cloth, because we see and we truly believe that it is about people. People ask me what my show is about. I'm like, it's about people. If I celebrate, absolutely, you know, a milestone anniversary, I tell people all the time, like, it's not about me, right? It's not about me or the show. It's about you. Like, I'm here and you're here because you built this community around the show and I've watched it grow, and it's the relationships are the most important part of what I do. And you're right. I say that while you can connect with somebody online and you can like them and follow them and friend them and heart them and do all these other things, nothing beats a handshake and a hug. Like, I've been doing monthly meetups in Walt Disney World for the past 8 or so years. And people are like, why? Like, what's the ROI in that? I'm like, because I need to look in somebody's eye. I need to shake their hand and hear their stories and thank them for listening. And you can't put a price, you can't value the importance of that.
Yeah, I agree 120%, no doubt about it. And I mean, we should state for the record that you live literally a stone throw away from Walt Disney World. Am I right?
I do. I used to live in New Jersey when I used to practice law, but now I can see and hear the fireworks from my house.
Okay, so every day. I love that. It's like you live at Walt Disney World literally every day. So I'm curious, though. I mean, like, yeah, you were a practicing attorney before, this has now been your life. How long have you been with the whole kind of Walt Disney focus, real quick? How many years is it?
I wrote my first book in 2000. I started in 2003, but I've been doing it full time since about 2007.
Okay, so 2007. So you were in Jersey at that point. When did you move to Florida? When did you move next to the park, basically?
Probably within 12 months of starting to do it full time in New Jersey. I was flying back and forth, you know, 2-3 times a month to Florida. And at some point, man, you got to take the leap of faith.
Yeah.
You know, you got to burn the boats and do it. And I said, look, I don't want to regret 5, 10, 20 years down the road. Like, what if I would have done this? I wonder what would have happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to take a chance and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, let's face it, Disney ain't going nowhere. is one of the biggest brands on the planet. So it was a pretty good guess. But ultimately, it all comes down to you at the end of the day, right? I mean, you know, it's you and how you run the business. So basically, the decision to move to Florida and to be close to the park to Walt Disney World was all down to you doing what you were doing. This was like, this was the big leap of faith, as you say.
Absolutely. I mean, look, where, you know, Walt Disney World is where what I do is,
right?
You know, so I just had to be there. I was like, what's the plan? What are you going to do? I said, I don't know. And it's not maybe the best business strategy, I said, but I know that I need to be there to do it. And I'll figure it out once I get there. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been several occasions throughout the course of the last how many ever years it is now that where, you know, you've had a phone call, you know, in the morning and say, hey, we're doing this in the afternoon. Can you be here? Or we're doing this first thing tomorrow. Can you pop by? You know, that kind of thing. Like, I'm sure that's come up a number of times, right?
All the time. Whether it's an event at Disney or, you know, by virtue of me being here, I've been able to get, you know, a lot of local TV exposure because they know I'm here. They know I've got the credibility behind me that I've built over a decade. So I'll get, you know, something will happen at Disney and the news station will call me up and say, hey, can you come down to the station in 10 minutes? And fortunately, I can.
Now, a lot of people might look at what you do and they might think that, you know,
I'm a crazy person. Yes, yeah. I am a crazy person.
Well, they might say that or they might call you lucky SOB, one or the other. You don't know. But I mean, a lot of people, I think from a business perspective that, you know, here you are, you're talking about Disney all day long. Where does Lou stand from a trademarking perspective, from a copywriting perspective? Like, is he, you know, I'm assuming that there are people at the park that know you, that you've built relationships with, probably even executives, you know, at the park that you've got to know over a period of time. I mean, like, how do they look upon you? I mean, is it kind of like, do they look at you as an, like, almost like an extended partner of the brand or something? Or is it something totally separate to that and they're just sort of getting what they can out of you because you're an enthusiast that talks about it all the time?
So two things right off the bat is, number one, I don't work for the company at all. I am completely unofficial. I'm completely independent. And to that point, man, I do not get paid a single dime, or have I ever, from Disney. You know, do I get invited to press events and things like that, which I disclose? Absolutely. But the relationship that I've had with Disney has changed and evolved, and obviously in a dramatic kind of way, because in 2004, when I'm trying to write my first book and I reach out to the PR department and says, hey, I'm trying to write a book. I don't want anything for free. I just want information. They said, hey, look, unless you are radio, TV, or newspaper, we don't want to know you. Like, you are not media. So I had to beat on that door like for years and years and show them what I was doing and earn their trust and respect and credibility. And the very first time, man, that I got invited to a media event and I'm standing on the same red carpet as, you know, Wall Street Journal and CNN and all, like, that's incredibly validating. And then as time has gone on, I think they, maybe even more so than a lot of other brands, really recognize the value of what we as third-party, you know, independent content providers bring to the table, right? Because if I say, Chris, you've got to go and try Pecos Bills because it's the best hamburger on property, that's a very different message than them going, hey, Pecos Bills is the best hamburger in the world.
Right.
They understand the influence. They understand the trust. And I now have a really, really good relationship with them.
No, that's true. You're 100%. So, okay, let's break down, you know, the business side of things here then. So let's talk about the WDW, you know, brand, what you're all about, and not to get into any massive amount of specifics, but how you make your money. I'm curious to know how you've built this business around your personal brand. So break it down. Let's have a look at the several different ways, you know, that you've built the brand up. What are the entities of the brand itself?
So the podcast really is the hub of everything that I do.
Right.
It is far and away the greatest sort of traffic generator and the focus of what I do. And from there are a lot of different extensions. So I create products, I have books, I have audio tours of the parks, you know, products that I can sell. I monetize the podcast from a variety of ways, including sponsorships and advertising. Patreon is something that I've been doing for about a year, which has worked very, very well because of the community that you spoke to earlier. I do a lot of events. I do free events and I do paid events. I just finished doing a cruise on the Disney Fantasy for a week, which was work.
This is insane. You've gone from like one of the most corporate jobs in the world to hanging out and making money by hanging out on Disney cruise ships. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, look, I'm the luckiest, most blessed guy on the planet, but diversification is key, right?
Yes.
I'm always looking to think what's new and what's next and ways I can leverage it. You know, I create content in a lot of different ways because you need to do it in the way that people are most comfortable consuming it. And by doing that, you open yourself up to additional monetization opportunities.
Yeah.
And then all these weird secondary and tertiary businesses have grown, you know, including speaking and coaching and, you know, consulting. Which is something that was never part of the plan, but it's something that I really, really enjoy doing as well.
So, what I mean, the podcast itself, how many times a week are you doing that now?
So, I do the audio podcast comes out once a week, and I do a live video. I've been live video broadcasting every week for 7 years.
So, how do you live video broadcast? What kit do you, I mean, kit wise, camera wise, mic wise? I don't really need to know that, but how are you doing it software wise? How are you getting it out there?
I have evolved from my first broadcast on Ustream in 2007,
yes,
which was my platform of choice for years. And then I tried Livestream. I was a first week Meerkatter, first week Periscoper, and I was given access to Facebook Live in late September. And I tried it. I was sort of doing some dual broadcasts, and I have gone all in a huge way on Facebook Live. And I am betting big time that I believe Facebook Live is going to win.
Yeah, in terms of just the live video war
the engagement,
that's going on.
You know, yeah. I'm not a numbers guy, but you can't help deny when you see what the numbers are on Facebook versus what I was getting on Ustream and Twitter, it is exponentially higher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Periscoper, you know that. You know, I love Periscope, and I think it's a great platform. But I have seen this year, 2016, I've seen the numbers go down. The numbers have dropped. You know, there was a big fanfare of Periscope, you know, when it launched. I think it came out last week of March, and it really started to blow up around June, July, August. And, you know, it's tough now to get any more than, like, you know, 100-something people on all at one time. You know, by the time you're done with your broadcast, you've got a couple of hundred people that have, you know, come in, maybe 300 people that have come in throughout the course of a 20-30 minute show. But, you know, I used to regularly get 200 plus people live on the show at any one time, and well over 1,000 by the time it was done. But now I'm lucky if I get 100 staying on the scope, and, you know, 300 or 400 across the time. So, you know, I'm now starting to. I mean, I'm waiting. I have not got Facebook Live yet. My account has not been opened for it yet. Maybe it's because I'm in the Philippines. I don't know. Maybe Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like me because I'm bald and British. I'm not too sure. But the fact is that, you know, I'm ready and waiting to try it because everybody's going crazy over it right now. It's going to be interesting to see how it all develops. But right now, I'm still a Periscope user. I'm a fan of Periscope. I still call my show Duckascope, and hopefully it'll continue to, you know, at least bring in, you know, some kind of business for me, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. You know, if there was not a business model at the end of that tunnel, I would not be doing it as much as I do. It's really that simple. Okay, so the podcast, sponsorships, live events, free and paid, books, tours, all the other bits and pieces, coaching, speaking. I'm curious to know, what part of the Lou Mangiello brand, earnings wise, how much? I mean, I don't need a dollar amount, but percentage wise, what are you making in regards to, you know, the coaching and the speaking side of things? How much does that make up your business now?
You know, it's funny, man. It was never part of the plan.
Yes, I know.
Until people start, you know, they start coming to you and say, hey, I dig your story, man. I like what you do. I like the passion. I like the enthusiasm. I want you to help me get from here to there. It very quickly became a large part. I've never actually sort of sat down and figured out the percentages. I'm sort of staring into space trying to figure out in my mind. But it's, you know, right now it's probably 30-40%.
Wow. So that's a big chunk. That's a big chunk but you know, you mentioned the word diversification, and that's what you're doing. You're diversifying your income, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So, all right, let's get back on point a little bit, because we tend to, you know, dive off into realms of the unknown when we chat as it is. I want to get back onto the subject of relationships here and why it's been so important for the growth of your business. Can you kind of think, and I'm pretty sure, knowing you the way I do, that you've always been a people person anyway, right? But I mean, you know, was there a catalyst for you in the early days of building this business where you really saw that the focus needed to be on the relationship side of things?
I don't think so, because it's just who I am. Like, it's just in my DNA. So relationships for me began in 2004 when I started a discussion forum on my site. Remember, this is pre-social media. Like, those words didn't exist. And I tell the story all the time because it's true. Like, that night in January when I turned on my forums and 29 people signed up, I was like, holy smokes, man. Like, there's like 30 other nerds in their basement that like Disney as much as I do. Like, I didn't realize it. And that number quickly and organically jumped to like 500, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like,
this is crazy, right?
This is serious. Like, yeah, like there's a lot of people out there. So you are forming relationships and friendships using, you know, these obscure screen names. And I really was the one who wanted something more, right? I'm like, well, it's great that I know you this way, but I want to meet you. Like, because look, everything that I was doing was pushing, right? I'm pushing out content. I'm pushing out conversations. And yeah, you can respond in email. I wanted to thank people in person. I wanted to see them in person. And I held my first meet before I even knew what the heck a meetup was and if anybody was going to show up. And they did. And the relationships that are formed between me and those people and in between the community themselves has been amazing to watch.
So, I mean, for somebody then who's just starting out with focusing on, you know, let's say they've got 10 years experience in a certain, you know, in a certain industry, you know, they've maybe been working on their side hustle for a while. They've just recently decided to quit the full-time well-paid job. Now they're full-time. They're all in, baby. They're all in. Just like when you moved to Florida from Jersey, you know, any tips for anybody that, you know, is in that position right now and they're starting to get real serious about what's around the corner business growth wise, with the slant maybe on relationships? If not, then, you know, we can go off on another tangent. That's fine. But, you know, what would you say to somebody who's really decided this is it? I'm going all in right now. And this is how I'm going to build my business based around these P2P relationships that I build up.
I mean, look, you know, I'm not going to rehash the, well, you have to engage people on Twitter and have conversations on Facebook and comment on Instagram. That's all well and good. But I think, Chris, that one thing that people, and I see it all the time, especially like in the podcasting space, they're so focused on growing the audience. I got to grow my audience. I want more people. I want more likes and follows and fans and all these things. You get the why, right? Like, why do you want those people? I take a little bit of a different tactic, which is, I focus on the people who are already there. I'm not worried about growing my audience. My audience will grow it for me. And what I mean by that is, if you treat somebody the right way, if you treat them, if you genuinely care about them and show them that you care, look, you know, I watch you on the Scope all the time. You know to acknowledge people by name. You remember, hey, you know, it's good seeing you again. It was great seeing you last week. How's this going on?
Yeah.
That means a lot to people.
Yeah.
And they go, God, you got to follow this guy, Chris Ducker, because he's amazing. It's the Fabergé effect, right? They tell two friends and so on and so on. That's how you grow your tribe, right? And you attract the people that you want to be in it. You know, I'm fortunate. I have a great community around me because you attract, like you said, you become the magnet for the type of people that you want to attract. But focus on the people that are already there. Feed the beast and they will help grow the audience.
Yeah. And you're 100% right. And I think, you know, authenticity plays a big part in that overall approach and actually just the mindset, right? Like as a whole, I think this is a mindset shift that a lot of people, like you say, you see podcasters and people like, gotta grow the audience. It's a mindset shift that's required, right? Above and beyond everything else. How important is authenticity, do you feel yourself, in today's business world?
I'm smiling because I have been saying for the past 6 months in a variety of different ways and locations, authenticity is the future of marketing. It's the future of business because people are so concerned about following the blueprint, the formula, the funnel, the character. I need to do this. I need to be this. No, man. People can see and they hear right through it. And I think people don't put enough value on being genuine, You know, and I think, you know, and what we do in podcasting, your audience can hear it. If you're faking it, they'll know it.
They'll call it.
And when they meet you, it amazes me, man, when I meet people and they're like, wow, like, you're such a, you know, I pretend it's not me. Like, hey, wow, you're such a nice guy. Like, I can't believe you're the same person you were on the show. I'm like, well, what'd you expect me to be? Like a jerk in real life and like a nice guy on the show?
Right, right.
And when they see him, they're like, wow, he is as transparent as he sounds. You know, the thing that I tell people all the time is, you know, I really dislike the word fan. I hate the word fan, right? Mm. You treat people like they're friends because that's how they look at you. And you be authentic with them. And that is the way that you make real relationships. And those people will become your most loyal evangelists.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, you know, I've been active online nowhere near as long as you, but, you know, I started blogging and podcasting in January 2010. So I've just celebrated my 6 years. Kids these days.
Kids
these days.
We were kids. We had to hand code everything.
back in the day, we had, you know, we had GeoCities, right? I mean, I've been on the internet. Yeah, I've been on the internet long enough to know that I know my first ever, this will make you smile, my first ever email address was a CompuServe address. Now, if you know anything about the internet from back in the mid-90s, you know that your email address, if you were lucky, was as personalized as this, 106.444-6969@CompuServe.com.
Yeah, brother. I was 34145.162 at CompuServe.
Oh, my God. He still remembers it. I mean, it's shot. And at that point, it was like everybody was like, hey, I'm on the internet. No, you're not. Yeah. You've got an email address. But that was the whole thing. So, no, you're right. And I agree with you when it comes to, you know, that the importance of the authenticity. I don't think people are spending as much time that is required to get the clarity required from a mindset perspective to understand just how darn important that authenticity is. Now, I've often been quoted to say that relationships should be treasured, not used. I'm a big believer of that. I know you're going to, you know, echo those words in some way, shape, or form. Can you think back where at any point you personally have been left feeling a little bit unhappy or sad about a relationship where someone has used that relationship that they've got with you? Can you think back and to one time?
One time? You're trying to make me cry on the show?
I we don't need to say names, but I'd love for you to tell
the
story.
Oh, I'm calling out. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah.
Well, I do the calling out. You don't need to. No, I would love for you to tell the story and how it made you feel, just so people can understand how important it is to treasure these relationships.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, things don't disappoint, people do. And unfortunately, I've been disappointed and, you know, have trust issues because you trust somebody and you want to help them and you think that their friendship or business relationship or whatever with you is genuine because that's, you know, I think, like I said, we're the same kind of people. I'm an honest person. I genuinely want to help people. And I think that you help with no expectation of anything in return. Mm. And then sometimes other people are like, I need to be friends with Chris Ducker because he is going to help me get from A to B. And I don't really care what happens in the wake. And that's not who I am. So you sometimes have to be guarded, you know, especially, you know, you're so popular. You're so good looking. You're so charismatic. Everybody wants a piece of you.
Now you know why he's on the show, everybody.
But I'm sure you have to be guarded sometimes with people that want to be friends or because you want to make sure like, hey, is this guy just trying to use me for what I can do for him?
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with you. And it's. I mean, I don't think it's as bad for me as it is for some people. But I mean, you know, particularly, I get a lot of people actually coming into the Philippines. You know, maybe they're coming in for vacation. Maybe they've got VAs here. Maybe they are passing through on the way to Singapore or Hong Kong or whatever it is. And they automatically assume that because, you know, I have some kind of relationship with them through the work that I've done online, whether it be a blog post or a comment or a tweet or something like that. They assume that it's going to be okay for them to come in and expect to have time at dinner with me or a coffee with me or whatever. And you know, it's not. And you know, unless I have a genuine relationship with you that has been built up over a period of time, for some people that might be less time. Like you and I, the first time you and I met, we became instant buddies. I mean, it, like literally within an hour, I was like, I want to know this guy for the rest of my life. Clear, cut, that's it. But some other relationships take longer to build up like that. And, you know, I actually had a guy about a month ago email me and say, hey, you know, I love your blog. I listened to your podcast for the last couple of years. I'm coming into the Philippines. I'd love to buy you a coffee and talk to you about how I'm setting up my own virtual assistant company in the Philippines. And I'm like, are you high? Like, seriously, dude, are you freaking high right now? Like, number one, if you love my blog and my podcast so much and you've been listening for 2 years, why have I not heard from you before? Ever. Ever. Not even a tweet. You know what I mean? And secondly, why would I go out and have a coffee with you to teach you how to create a business that would ultimately become a competitive business to one of mine? Like, I just don't get it. But okay, back to you. I want you to tell a story of when you were, you know, you were screwed over. I really want to hear. Like, it doesn't have to be too brutal, but I just want to hear how you tell the story and how you feel about it.
Well, I think, you know, man, and maybe I've blocked some of these specifics
right out. Yes.
Because I very much distance myself from the negative, and when stuff like that happens. You know, I'm a very positive guy, man. So I'm going to try and pull the positive out of him. I'm like, all right, this was a teaching moment. There was a lesson to be learned here. And as time has gone on, my walls have gone up a little bit. My radar is a little bit more sensitive to it. So to your point, I do. And I'm incredibly grateful, man. And I answer every email I get personally. When somebody says to me, I love what you do. I appreciate it. I'm coming to the parks. I'd love to meet you and say hi or buy you a coffee. I will do whatever. Like if I don't, I'm not in the parks every day, so it's hard for me because I, you know, my business takes place at my desk.
Yeah, you're running a business, right?
Yeah, but if I can, I will, because that's my way of saying thank you to them. That being said, you can also tell when that line is, hey man, I love your podcast. I'm starting this, and all of a sudden you're getting the pitch.
Yes.
And I don't want to meet you because I like your show. I want to meet you because I want you to. And look, I don't mind helping anybody.
A free consultation session,
dude,
is what it is.
I
right?
know how much it stinks when you're starting off and you have nobody to talk to and there's no community like the Upreneur community, for example, to go to get help. So I don't mind saying, yeah, here's some advice to get you going. Here's some direction. There's a difference between that and I've had people feign friendships with me because – Yeah, we're buddies, we hang out, and I believe it. And then all of a sudden, I'm finding out that what this person is doing is trying to see how I do things. I want to be careful about how I put this, but they see sort of what I do in my community.
Right.
They try and come into the community to extract those people out and say, hey, I'm doing this, and it looks a lot like what Lou's doing over here, but that's okay. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, I don't mind helping you. But I think there's room for us all to succeed, but not at the expense of trying to take advantage. And that's all I ask. It's like, don't try and take advantage of a good, kind gesture.
Right. And like I say, relationships should be treasured, not used. And I mean, you're backing that up ultimately with what you're saying in regards to, you know, there's plenty of business to go around. There's plenty of cake on the table. You know, don't get too greedy, right? That's what it comes down to.
Look, I coach and I help other people who are starting Disney podcasts.
I know.
And people are like, are you out of your mind? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, they're competition. I'm like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Listen, you can listen to more than one podcast, man. It's okay.
Absolutely. And I know you do because actually when I've done one-on-one coaching before in the past, we've crossed over with one particular client before who is in the process of not just setting up a podcast, but a whole thing around his Disney, you know, focus and enthusiasm.
He's hustling, man. He's hustling.
Yeah, and he's doing a great job. And he is actually a Upreneur member as well. But I have done one-on-one coaching session with this particular person too. How important do you think is – or let me rephrase that. How important do you think expectations are going into a new relationship on both ends? Like a bit of a weird question straight out of left field here. But like for me, I go into pretty much any new situation, whether it be a dinner party or a conference that I'm going to or whatever the case may be, with pretty wide open expectations in terms of what to expect to a certain degree. But there have been times before in the past where I've been invited to, say, a dinner party where I know that there's one particular person there that I want to get to know because they do cool shit, plain and simple, right? I'm not trying to get anything out of them, but they do cool stuff, and I like to be around people like that. And, you know, I kind of, you know, I say to myself, you know, I'd love to be sitting opposite this person or next to that person at that party. How important do you think those kind of expectations are? And obviously there's negative and positive, you know, connotations to both of those, but how do you handle those yourself when you're put in the situations?
Well, it's funny because I think sometimes, like, we can use sort of conferences as an example. You know, people say, well, I'm going to my first conference. You know, what do I do? You know, focus on that person you want to go and meet. And to a certain degree, I understand it. You know, I've seen the line for Chris Ducker after you speak. So I get that because people are inspired by you. They want to meet you. For me, I go in with no expectations to a certain degree. So, and I'm at a point now when I go to a conference, people say, well, why do you go? You know, what are you going for? The first thing I'm going to say is I want to go because I want to help people. And I don't know who those people are because I haven't met them yet, but I know what it's like to be the nervous guy going to his first conference, sitting there by himself, having no freaking clue who anybody is, what's going on. So if I can go and help somebody, awesome. Who do you want to meet? I don't know, because I don't, you know, sometimes it's not the guy who's up on stage that you want to meet. It's the guy sitting next to you that all of a sudden you start a relationship, you've got something in common, and something clicks. A story that I can tell was years ago, and I don't remember what it's called. It was the Podcast Expo or New Media Expo, whatever it was, eons ago. I met somebody the first day that I was there. She listened to the show. We spent 3.5 hours in the hallway. She was, and what I mean by this is she was not a speaker. She doesn't have a website or a product or a podcast. But we sat and we chatted for 3.5 hours, and I called my wife and I said, I'm coming home. And she's like, why? What's wrong? I'm like, because I got everything that I could have imagined this conference was and more from this one random person that I happened to meet. Mm. So now my expectations, like you, are wide open, because you don't know what kind of friendship and relationship, what sort of, and I don't even say what you can take from, but what sort of exchange you can have with, you know, a person you meet online for food.
No, and I love that. And I've had those similar situations before in the past as well, where I have literally, I've sat there at a show and started talking to somebody right next to me, and we're still in contact now. You know, some of those relationships are great. I love them. Wrapping up here, where do you see things going now as someone who is, you know, you are using new media, you know, podcasting, live video, blogging, social, you're using all these platforms to help continue to build your business, your community, your tribe, et cetera, et cetera. I always just like to kind of get this blue sky. God, there's a management term. Let's blue sky this. Let's blue sky this, everybody.
So Disney. You're
yeah.
So Disney.
Let's get a whiteboard, some pens, and let's blue sky this bad boy. But no, seriously, I always like to get like the higher, you know, kind of the bird's eye view mindset from people like yourself who are doing a lot of things right and have been doing so for a long time when it comes to the growth of their actual community. Where do you see things developing going forward in the next 2 to 3 years?
So the lawyer answer I'm going to give you as a recovering attorney is I have no idea, and that's what excites the heck out of me. Like the unknown and the possibilities is what really fuels the fire, because we're always evolving, right? We can't be stagnant in this game. That being said, I do think that authenticity is going to be the key. And to that point, the way it's going to work and the way it's going to win is, I think this new, and I'm using air quotes as if the listener can see, I think this new thing about being able to live stream is really going to continue to grow and explode, I think, in the next 12 to 18 months, because there is nothing like getting that real-time feedback in the commenting system and them getting to be like, wow, Chris saw my name. He acknowledged me, which is important. He acknowledged me. He's answering my questions. I'm having a real relationship with this person. Now I want to know more about him. Now I want to meet him. I want to support what he does. So I think live and the things are going to extend from it. You know, who knows where this, you know, virtual reality is going to go, and Oculus Rift, and even some of the things I think Facebook is going to start to do with more live stuff and some of the VR stuff. But I am still believer, and the core of what I do, man, and I will never get away from, is the face to face. It is the core of not just my business, but who I am. You know, you make good one-on-one relationships, you know, they become, you make a lot of little one-on-one relationships, and they will continue to grow. And I think that's the key.
I couldn't agree more. You see, I just love it when I get people on the show. I don't know how many times I've said on this episode right now, I couldn't agree more. I've said it like literally every time you're done talking. But I couldn't. And that right there, people, is, you know, for you guys tuning in, that's testament to the fact that, you know, relationships, again, I'm going to say this for the third time now in the last 35, you know, minutes, relationships should be treasured, not used. Lou and I met for the first time, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, very briefly. Then we met again, I believe it was 2012 or 13 in Toronto, when we were both speaking at a conference, and I got horribly sick the last night that we went out. I got food poisoning. It was terrible. Don't eat all the chicken at a Chinese restaurant. Share the chicken at a Chinese restaurant, everybody. But no, I mean, that was really when we really hit it off. Like that was, yeah, you know, the time. And I'm just all about surrounding myself with people that I can learn to love over time. And that right there is relationship 101. Isn't it? You know, there's not enough love in the world, man. We need to spread that around. We need some more John Lennon stuff going down. Is what we need.
Yeah, man. Listen, I remember, and I continue to say it, you know, to friends and my wife, and you know, I'm like, I remember like Krista, he's like a good guy, and that to me is like the greatest. You know, people used to say that about my dad before he passed. Like, your dad was a good guy. I think that's like the highest compliment you can say, yeah, because I think that says a lot. You know, you're good. Forget the fact that you're a good businessman and you're good at what you do, and you're, you know, you're just a good person, and I can I sense that in you, and I think that's why we get along. You know, you are you're a salesman and you're a marketer, but you know, you still have a soul.
Oh yeah, I haven't sold it yet. I never say never. No, I haven't sold it yet. Lou, it's been a pleasure to have you on the phone, man. I really appreciate you, you know, being here and just sharing your knowledge and your experience. It's, you know, it's like anything else. You can't put a dollar amount in all those years of experience. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. You, you're a good person. I really appreciate it.
All righty. For you guys tuning in, learn a little bit more about Lou. Lumangello.com, WDWradio.com, just in case you're a bit of a Disney head. And I'm developing slowly but surely into a big Disney head. I mean, I've never not liked the stuff, but now that they own Star Wars, forget about it. The jury's out completely. And so, yeah, show notes over at chrisducker.com/episode164. Links to Lou and everything else over there. I love you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much. And I'll be back at you again next week with another show. Until then, take good care of each other. Bye for now. And don't forget to head over and check out today's sponsor, FreshBooks. Get that free 30-day trial. You don't even need to input your credit card for that, by the way. All you got to do is head over to freshbooks.com/upreneur and enter the word upreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. I'll be back at you again next week. Until then, take good care.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit upreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today.
That's upreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.
Hey, before you move forward with your day, just a quick reminder one more time about the Long Haul Leader Summit taking place November 16 and 17 this year, 2024, in Cambridge, England. This is your chance, along with 100 other entrepreneurs from all over the world, to boost your income, elevate your impact, and build a legacy. This is the live event for entrepreneurs that you need to be at this year, my friend. Because not only are we going to teach you lots of great strategies and processes and systems and all that good stuff in terms of scaling your business, but most importantly, You're going to learn from the best in the game when it comes to making the moves that you need to make in order to be able to go the distance in business and in life. I really hope to see you there. Grab your ticket right now before they're all gone. Longhaulleader.com. Bye for now.